and welcome to the Rapid Microbiology Podcast, and I'm your host, Paul Carton. Today's topic is on microbial monitoring, with a particular focus on how to stay compliant with the new Annex 1. And I'm pleased to have with us today Adele Gizeman and Anna Cleese, who are both Global Product Managers at Merck KGaA Darmstadt, Germany. Welcome, Adele.
Hello, thank you.
And welcome, Anne.
Hello, Paul. Thank you for the introduction.
Anna, we'll start with you. With your extensive knowledge of environmental monitoring for Merck KGaA, can you tell me, in your experience, what does pharmaceutical industry struggle with most when doing environmental monitoring?
Yeah, I think from my point of view, the most challenging topic for EM in the pharmaceutical industry is that there is no template they can follow. So each manufacturing line is different and they have to prepare their own sampling plan for each of the manufacturing lines. And this is really a big challenge.
Okay, so there are guidelines but no exact method to follow. So what key changes to environmental monitoring are coming with the new Annex 1?
Yeah, one very obvious change is really the emphasizing the quality risk management. Everything in the GMP world has now to follow really the quality risk management, and even the environmental monitoring should be based on this risk management.
And what effect will this emphasis on risk have, do you think?
The effect is dedicated to the definition of the sampling locations, the monitoring frequencies, the monitoring methods, and the incubation conditions, and they all should be based on a documented risk assessment, which includes also a good knowledge of the processes and operations to be performed in the area. And in this environment also, the new PDA technical report 13.2 may help the customers, because they will give you some more guidance how to create a sampling plan and which are the risk criteria you can use.
Okay. So with this greater emphasis on risk, does Annex 1 now allow for using different methods such as rapid or alternative methods for doing viable environmental monitoring?
Yes, they are doing that. So the new draft version of 2020 includes now the use or the suitability of alternative or automated methods. But there is also a clear request to validate these methods in order to demonstrate that they are equivalent or superior to the established traditional methods. And in general, we can say this is not really new, because this is already part of the FDA GMP guidance for aseptic manufacturing since 2004. The alternative methods, they are also taken into consideration when you look for the table of the maximum action limits which are given for viable particle contamination. All the limits are indicated in CFUs dedicated to the traditional test methods, but it is also noted now that different units than CFU can be applied if they are scientifically justified, and they should be correlated whenever possible to CFUs.
Okay, and so for Europe, that decision has been coming a long time, but better late than never. And in relation to the adoption of rapid and their alternative methods, is there specific changes for, let's say, viable air monitoring?
Yeah, this depends. You have now more options, so basically, you can still use the well-known method, such as volumetric air samplers and settle plates in combination, which are recommended to be used frequently. And as these are well-established procedures, they have been proven to be efficient and can still be used. But now the door is also open to use rapid methods, which is indicated in the term continuous viable air monitoring using air samplers or settle plates. It is not clearly outlined that these air samplers should be real-time air samplers, but it looks to me as if they had this in mind, because this is everywhere dedicated, for example, in the table of limits.
Okay, and how about surface and personnel monitoring? Do we see changes there?
For surface and personnel monitoring, I think there are not so many significant changes in the text. You still should use frequently contact plates and swabs. And it is also lined out that routine monitoring of clean rooms and personnel should be performed in operation throughout all the critical stages, including the equipment setup. And the sampling of personnel should be performed in a way that it will not compromise the process, meaning not putting any additional contamination risks. And particular consideration should be given to the monitoring of personnel when they are involved in critical interventions and exactly when they are exit the clean room grade B or A.
Okay. Does the Annex 1 describe the need for qualification or recovery rates for air samplers and culture media using environmental monitoring? And if so, how should a lab go about this?
Yeah, that's for sure. They say you should use only qualified methods and the recovery rates of the test methods should be qualified. But the Annex 1 itself does not give you any information how to do the qualification. For this, you might follow other guidances such as the ISO 14698, which gives you a lot of information how to qualify volumetric air samplers with regard to their biological and physical efficiency. And for culture media, you might find information in the USP chapter 60 or 1117, or also in the European Pharmacopoeia 2612 for the qualification of culture media. And in both cases, you need to detect a broad range of bacteria, yeast, and molds, and the recovery rate should include recommended microorganisms from the pharmacopoeia, but also additional microbes, for example, those which are very typical for clean rooms, such as Coccuria rhizophila or other typical in-house isolates from the manufacturing environment.
And in these clean rooms, there are obviously disinfectants used, but you need neutralizers in the media to counteract their antimicrobial effects to get an accurate picture of the environment. Does the media need to be validated for how efficient their neutralization is?
Yes, that's really a good comment. So the neutralization is also a need which is mentioned in the ISO 14698 and the USP 1116 chapter to minimize the inhibition of any antimicrobial residues present at the sampling location. This could be disinfectant residues or VHP in an isolator. And again, you will not find any method which clearly describes how to validate a culture medium for its ability to neutralize these inhibitory residues. But we have performed our own test setups and included this in the validation of culture media throughout the shelf life to be absolutely sure that we can provide the best culture medium, which is also able to be used in isolators in the presence of low residues of VHP.
And how about air samplers? How do you go about validating air samplers?
Yeah, to validate an air sampler, this is much more complicated and usually not possible in a simple lab. So the description how an air sampler is validated for physical and biological recovery is described in the ISO 14698 or as well in the new EN 17141, which replaces the ISO guideline in the European countries. And the requirement for the physical efficiency is to have a D50 value of less than 2 micron, which means at this particle size or lower, you should collect in minimum 50% of the particles. This is only one part of the efficiency of an air sampler, because you might have an excellent D50 value, but on the other hand, you might not have a very good biological efficiency, because a good D50 value is usually based on high impaction speeds. And this can, on the other hand, damage microorganisms when they are impacted on the agar. And that's why we need a validation of both the physical and the biological efficiency. And we have performed these tests in an external competent laboratory for all the MAS100 family together with our ICR plates, and achieved really excellent results with D50 values of less than 1 micron and biological efficiencies of more than 70%. And so these results are applicable to both norms, the ISO 14698 and the EN17141.
Okay, so you're saying validation needs to be done on a particular air sampler in combination with a particular type of plate. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. Because each air sampler model might have slightly different impaction speeds, and the flow can be directed differently. And therefore, it's important to do this for each single model of an air sampler. If you include a culture medium as well, this gives you the full picture for the recovery rate you can achieve with this air sampler in combination with the qualified culture medium.
Okay. And apart from recovery rates, what other requirements are worth mentioning that need to be met for microbial monitoring?
Yeah, for the methods you are going to use, there are a lot of other requirements mentioned either in the Annex 1 or in other guidances. And one very important part is you should not pose a contamination risk to the environment. For culture media, this can be achieved, for example, by aseptic manufacturing conditions during the filling of the culture media, followed by triple packaging and gamma irradiation. And these steps are important for a safe transfer of the media into the clean room environment. And you have the probability to remove the packaging step by step in the material locks. Also, the handling might have an impact on a contamination risk you can put into the clean room environment. So to avoid any false positive results, it's important that the handling is easy. And for example, that during the unpacking of the plates, you do not release high amounts of particles, that you are compliant with the ISO 5 requirements of particle counts when you use the culture media there. And the less manipulation steps which are required, the less risk of false positive results you might have. And this was also the basic idea for the ICR swabs. So we emphasized the handling here, that you do not require a lot of manipulation steps after you opened the device once, just for sampling. And with regard to particle release, this is also something which is important for air samplers. So, for example, using specific motors for the MAS family, a brushless motor allows to have a very low particle creation and makes it suitable for clean rooms ISO 5. So the contamination risk for air samplers may also be originated if you use them in higher contaminated areas. And in this case, you might also implement a high efficient HEPA filter to prevent any transfer of contamination between different clean room areas.
So Adele, your expertise is in aseptic process simulation or media fill. Will the Annex 1 make changes there too?
Yes, Paul. There is a complete new section that has been added in the new draft in the annex one. So in the current version, aseptic process simulation were only included in the processing section, and now it has its own sections. So some of the new requirements in the new draft are already described in the FDA guidance since 2004, but some are new. A focus now is made on the critical manufacturing steps that need to be taken into account during media field, and it describes some of them. As well, the new drive gives more explanation on the worst case condition that were only shortly mentioned in the first draft. As well, when to perform aseptic process simulation has been completed. So in addition to the three consecutive media fill as part of the initial validation, and after any significant modification to operational practices, media fill should be repeated as well twice a year. So this was already in the Annex 1 in the current version, and now the new draft states as well that each operator should participate in at least one successful media fill annually, and that media fill should be considered after the last batch prior to shutdown, before long periods of inactivity, or before the commissioning or relocation of a line.
Okay, so again, there's that emphasis on minimizing risk and then extra effort to make sure all operators are aware of this protocol. Is there any guidance on the number of units that need to be filled?
Yes, there is. Regarding the number of units to be filled, the recommendations are more or less the same than in the current version. So for small batches, so under 5,000 units, the number of containers for media fill should be at least equal to the size of the production batch. And for larger batches, so minimum 5,000 units to 10,000 units should be filled. In the new draft, it has been added that justification for the number of units to be filled should be carefully captured. And the number of units to be filled for aseptic process simulation in general should be sufficient enough to effectively simulate all activities that are representative of the aseptic manufacturing process.
Okay, so back to when you mentioned the new change on operator training, what needs to happen there with staff training?
Training of the staff who is performing the reading of the results of media fill is mentioned in the new draft. And as well, the new draft mentions that the media fill should be observed by personnel with expertise in aseptic process. And when an operator has failed qualification, actions to limit the operator's activities should be taken until retained and requalified. And about operation staff again, there is a section that is completely new in the new draft and that no other guidance mentioned in the past. Operators that has been disqualified from entry in the clean rooms due to ongoing assessment, identification of an adverse trend from the personnel monitoring program, mm-hmm. or due to participation in a failed media field, they should be requalified.
Okay.
And for operators entering in grade B clean rooms or performing on grade A zone, this requalification should now include participation in a successful aseptic processes simulation. And this is what is new. It's the participation to a successful media fill in order to be requalified to enter in the clean room. So this guidance may require new organization in the operation staff if they want to follow it.
Okay. And just back to the aseptic process protocol or media fill itself, what action needs to be taken if there's a positive?
So like in the current guidance, the new drive states that the target of media fill should be zero growth. However, the new draft gives more recommendation in case of positive viral. Here, for example, in addition to the investigation and implementation of corrective actions, the new draft states that any contaminated unit should be followed by a sufficient number of successful consecutive media fields. And then again, we have the notion of risk assessment. The manufacturer needs to evaluate the potential sterile breaches in batches that are manufactured since the last successful process simulation. And finally, the new draft mentions the importance of record and documentation during aseptic process simulation, including all interventions that are performed during the media fill. Microbial monitoring data and other testing data should be recorded as well in the aseptic process simulation batch records.
Okay, so it seems there are some important changes with the Annex 1 and also some parts that labs might struggle with. How can you help customers meet their regulatory requirements?
So we have a long-term expertise in environmental monitoring topics and the workflow for microbial monitoring. And as well, our products are really designed for the purpose of EM in clean rooms, RABs, and as well isolators. We offer a really strong support to our customers with documented validation and services, for example, IQOQ services for air samplers.
Okay, which leads me to my final question. What products are available from Merck KGaA?
So we offer a really broad range of portfolio for environmental monitoring from the surface to the air and as well aseptic process simulation. For surface, we have a broad portfolio of ICR plates and contact plates, as well as ICR swabs. We have a broad range of formulation of these plates for detection of bacteria, as well as yeast and molds, and as well in the presence of residues of disinfectants. This product portfolio is triple-bagged and gamma-irradiated, and all plates are suitable for isolator use due to efficient neutralization of hydrogen peroxide residues. For classical clean rooms, we offer portable mass 100 air samplers, which are accurate, efficient, and easy to use. We have a specific line of the mass 100 family that is designed to be used in isolators and RABs at fixed sample points with the control unit outside of the isolator. We have a unique feature that is a double valve system which allows active decontamination of the inner parts of the sampling equipment. And also for isolators, we have developed isobags, which allow a rapid transfer of ICR plates into isolators without the need for decontaminations. And for aseptic process simulation or media fill, we have a broad range of media. We have dehydrator culture media, which is irradiated and suitable for cold filtration. It's available in triptych soybros and as well non-animal origin TSB. And we have as well ready-to-use culture media in 10-liter bags. This media is sterile and comes as well in a standard TSB and non-animal origin TSB.
Thank you, Adele Gizelman and Anna Cleese, for preparing our listeners for the new Annex 1. And thank you, the listener, for making the time.